Margaret, how did you first know or learn about that there were jobs in defense planning?
Well, I knew they had to have the wherewith to was at war. Well, yes, at the time, and they, well, I read in the paper, you know, there's hiring people and everything, and so I had to have work anyway, so I applied, and accepted me.
You said you had to have work. What made you decide to go to work?
Well, as I say, we heard of Pearl Harbor, and I told my husband that I'm going down and apply for work. And I did go. And my husband told my daughter, oh, your mother won't work. Well, I didn't think they would hire me, but they did. So I went to work.
How did he feel about you working?
Well, nobody seemed to worry about it. Everything went fine. And I made my plans, and I did my work according to working away from home. So there was no problem at all. And I enjoyed it.
How did you, before I ask you that, what were your first expectations before you went down and before you went to work? What did you think it would be like?
I really had no idea because I didn't know anything about airplanes then, only see them up in the sky. So, I applied for work and I got different kinds of work. I didn't have any set job. You had to do this and do this and do this. And I went ahead and done it the best I could.
What was the process like that you went through to apply for your job?
Well, they had a place to apply for at work. And I went there and applied, and they questioned me and everything. And
was that at Douglas at the plant?
Yes. And, of course, I had to go to school because I never didn't know what a rivet gun was, didn't know what a motor was, didn't even know how to use them. And so they send you to school and you get little simple things to do. And you have to go by, well, like school. It was school. You have to go by what you read and you went ahead and done it.
What kinds of things did they ask you at the interview? Do you remember?
Well, of course, I asked you if you ever done that kind of work before, and which I hadn't. And, of course, I'm a little handy. I'm kind of mechanical. And it just worked on real good. I just, they gave me things to do, and I could do it. And so I went, finished the school, which amounted to 2-3 weeks. And then I went right into the plant and worked. Of course, it was quite an experience because, well, I didn't know how I was going to come out or whatever. And but I made out.
When was it that you started to work?
Well, I don't quite remember, but it was shortly after Pearl Harbor, and because you had to go to school for a couple of weeks, and then they give you a place to go to in the plant, you have to look that up. And at that time, Douglas had the buildings were rented out to different things. I don't know just what they were now, but I think Kaiser was in one building, and I don't remember what that, but they weren't just very few buildings that Douglas was using, because at that time, they didn't need them, you know. I don't know, probably was just building passenger planes. But then you see they started building the B-17 and the C-47 and, the A-26 and the B-26. Of course, they build A 174, but I never worked on that. And of course, I was out in the shop. I didn't want to work in the office. If I could have gotten a job, I wouldn't have wanted it because I use my hands better than my head. Of course, you got to use both.
What do you mean by that?
Well, you have to go. They give you a book to go by the different parts you have to pull, or somebody pulls them for you in the stock from the stock room, and you have to look at that book, and it tells you how to clamp and clico those parts to each other on the frame in a jig. And you it comes to very easy to you. You just, pretty soon you know just what to do.
How many many other women were in your training class?
Oh, it must have been 25 or 30. And, of course, I think I went in, and, of course, they had other classes right after that, because that wasn't the end of the hiring by any matter of means. Some of them couldn't keep on working, and with me, well, I kept on working until the war was over with Japan, and they laid me off. And, of course, I wasn't working anyway, a person, and I was kind of tickled with that because I got the unemployment after that. And when every week they never questioned you, you just, $20 a week, you got it. You was entitled to it, you worked for it, and you got it. And after that, there wasn't any work, and I was satisfied with that. But then I had it happened, my husband passed away, and I had to go to work. So, I had to go to work. I mean, he died in 1950, and I applied for work. I don't know how soon. Well, I applied, and they took me right back to work in 1951.
Did you collect unemployment the entire time from the end of the war until 51?
Oh, no, huh? You just 26 weeks, something like that. And maybe some of them reapplied, but I never was trying to get any more than I was supposed to get. So I probably could have tried yet more, but I didn't do that. I think the 26 weeks, and that was that.
How did you feel about your training school experience?
Well, it was very good.
I mean, in terms of being able to use the equipment, the tools,
mm-hmm.
how that felt to you at first?
Well, it just was easy for me because I didn't have any trouble and did what I was supposed to do. So I didn't have much trouble at all.
What kinds of mechanical things had you done before?
Nothing, only aircraft.
No, I mean, well, you said that you worked with your hands. And
yes.
That you were kind of...
Well, I mean there.
Yeah. Like around the house or that kind of thing.
Well, I knew what a hammer was. And of course, now I can use many more things because I've used them there. But I never did anything that required too much... that.
Were there preparations that you had to make in your personal life to?
Yes, I had to.
Get ready to work.
Oh yes, I had to keep up my home and prepare ahead of time for meals and shop and everything. And I had to take my lunch. And I have a daughter that was in school, and my husband had to have food. And everything, so, but it worked out good. I just took it in course.
Where was your husband working at the time?
He was at Hope. He was a refrigeration engineer at the Home Ice Company on Daisy Avenue in Long Beach.
And was he working nights then? During the
well, he didn't shift work, three different shifts.
That were okay.
Mm-hmm.
Did you have to... what kinds of things did you have for the first day of work?
Well, they gave you everything right there. You didn't have to bring in. Well, you probably would bring them paper and pencil and try to think of a tablet or something to put write these things down because you wouldn't be remembering everything to begin with. But after you've done it a while, it just comes to you that it's up there and you know what to do.
Can you describe for me the kind of clothes that...
Well, we had to wear bandanas on our hair to begin with because there had been women that would get their hair in their motor, electric motor. And so we had to wear pants because we did climbing around, pants and blouses and, of course, sweaters. And we had to... that's all we did. They didn't even want us to wear rings and everything like that, but anything that would get caught in the machinery, you know, we used.
Did you wear your wedding ring while you were?
Mm-hmm. Of course, when I went to work after my husband passed away, well, I wasn't wearing them, so I didn't have anything to take off. But I was really glad because here I was able to go back to Douglas to a good job, paid good money, and if I hadn't had that experience, because I'm a little older than the time that they want you to go in, you know. So they accepted me because I had a good enough record for working there. And I didn't have a bit of trouble getting in. And I did pickup work on the different airplanes. And some of it was pretty new to me. But, of course, you have a lead man you can go discuss things with. So it worked out real good.
Now, did you do pickup work during the war as well?
Yes. Because, you know, people will do these jobs. And it wasn't acceptable to inspection. So an inspector would check it, and he'd mark it. And then you'd have to go around and do these jobs right that they didn't do right.
Now, is that where they put you first when you first went in?
Yes.
Mm-hmm. So they would just, like, send you then around the plant to different departments?
Well, it wasn't so much then. It was so much plant that was being used. But gradually, those occupations left Douglas, and they put him in for the airplane, see. And there, to begin with, while they was building that thing, C-147, and the planes for fighting, the bombers and that thing, and troop carriers and all of that sort of thing. But after that, you didn't need them, and so it went back to passenger. And they started building the DC-8, which was a passenger plane, a large passenger plane. And I worked on the first one. They build up a building, one on a, be on the west side of Lakewood. And then I was working on the first DC-8. They put me on the first DC-8. And so I was, that DC-8 went over there on in our first building, building one. And so I did loaded the jigs and drilled the holes and clicked them together, the parts. And then people working with me there, they put the right rivets and bolts and things in there.
And when you were working during the war, did you work within a department or?
Yes, we had our departments.
I see, and they would bring you then the.
Certain departments would do certain things. Some of them would do other things, you know.
Right, and you said you did pickup work.
Mm-hmm. The pickup work was things of, if they had a part that wasn't there, they'd build so far and put that part later when they got it in stock. And there was times where, well, when, you know, things was a little slow or when people didn't come in, you have to go and stock them for your own parts. So I did all of that.
How did you feel your first day when you walked into the plant the first time you'd ever been in there?
Well, naturally, you wonder how everything's going to be. And I wasn't worried about it. I just was concerned that all I could do was the best I could. And I did.
How did your daughter feel about you?
Well,
on this kind of job?
Yeah, well, she didn't mind it. She didn't know anything about it, really, what it was. But I always managed, really.
Can you describe what the building looked like?
Well, you have to buy yourself a toolbox, you know. And as time went on, you'd have to buy the different, screwdrivers and things like that. Because they have tool cribs mm-hmm. where you could get, had tool checks. You'd have so many of them. And you would use them to get the different parts of the tool crib that you needed. And
but you had to buy some of your...
Yes, you had to buy a lot of things. As time went on, you had to buy that many more because they just didn't have those things in tool cribs. They couldn't have everything for everybody in the plant, you know, because it's just too much.
How long did you keep your toolbox?
I still got it. And I got some of the tools left, you know. Stuff does disappear, you know. And some of it I would never use again anyway, like a ratchet and things like that. we used a hammer and screwdriver and like that. But
was the size of the building?
Well, it was interesting, and of course it was a big building, and then too, the noise. You know, it was seemed like awful. Of course, some buildings were more noisy than others. Like say, building a 2 in Long Beach, in that before you get a 2, before you get over across the street, building 2, they did all the drilling and a lot of riveting. And I worked in building 12. And anyway, it wasn't quite so bad. But you have these earplugs to wear. But I never felt they were a success as far as I was concerned. But I didn't have too much trouble because you go through that building I'm talking about in Long Beach, and it was nothing but noise. It's hard to realize, but it was nothing but noise. Continual hum of rivet guns and drills and motors. I wouldn't have wanted to work there because it would be awfully hard later on in life with your ears. But you see, the different airplanes they worked on made it different. And
what were the lights like?
Well, they weren't too good either, and I never wore glasses until I started working at Douglas, and I've had to wear them ever since. The light was different, and the noise you're not used to that. But time goes on; it's a job. You keep on going wrong.
You said you wore pants and glasses to work. Had you worn pants before?
No.
What was that like for you to wear?
Well, I didn't think nothing of it because I had to wear them to work, and I knew I had to work. And it was a good thing, too, because, you are standing on it by a jig like I am, and people can be working beside you. And these clothes, a pants hugs your leg, and you don't have it get caught in anybody's drill motor, because they did have, with all the people worked there, trouble with people drilling other people and everything.
Really?
Yes, because if you worked on the opposite side of the skin, so to speak, you didn't know where that other person was on the other side of the skin. And I know people did get drilled. I never did, but then, where I worked probably wasn't quite so many people. But, you know, during some time there, there were so many people worked there that that's many people got so they didn't need to work very much because there's so many people there. They accomplished a certain amount, you know. And I guess that's all they required. And this was cost plus, too. So.
So you felt like that made a difference?
Yeah. I never felt, I just felt, I didn't feel like maybe like a lot of people, that I should take advantage of Douglas because of that. And because the job was getting done, I was there to do a job, and I wanted to do it, and I did.
How did the men who were working there already feel about you personally, or women in general coming into the plant?
Well, they were very nice. I never had any trouble with anybody, and you worked with a man, opposite a man, you know. And, of course, I think they kind of resented it because, you see, we were on a man's job, and we were getting their pay. But men were used to getting more money than a woman. But Douglas paid them. If you was on that job with a man, you got exactly the same pay he did. There was no argument at all. You see, you work up. You started in there as a B, and you work up to an A, see. And start on a job, you have to work on that until I don't know just how long it took, but it takes a certain length of time to put in there to become an A. And also, you have to be able to do that work. You'd never get your A if you weren't qualified. And it was good. You see, you made more money by making the A, too. So it was something to look forward to.
But you think some of the men resented that
Well, I kind of had a feeling they never said anything. They couldn't do anything about it. Some of them would work too hard anyway. But you see, we had our breaks. One, a 10-minute break in the morning and 10-minute break in the afternoon. And Douglas was very lenient with us. I mean, they had coffee machines all over, and we could go during working time, get us a cup of coffee, and some people would even eat. But you had a break for that, you know. But anyway, they'd even eat, see. But as I say, Douglas was very lenient. And you could drink a cup of coffee on a job and wouldn't be too bad, you know. Especially as long as, see, they had a schedule. And they have to get those things out a certain length of time. And they sold this and that. They sold a plane. Why, it had to get out a certain time. And lots of times it was even overtime to get that out. And, of course, I didn't take much overtime because, well, you have a ride. You can't do those things, you know.
You went in a carpool, did you?
Yeah. Yes, I was very good at Douglas to have carpool. And, of course, you have trouble getting a ride sometimes because it depends on where you lived. And I was pretty lucky. And these people come pick me up, you know, and I paid them so much a week, whatever. And I didn't have a car to worry about or anything, but I'll never forget the time. It was raining terrible. And the parking lot was just flooded with water. So this lady that I rode with her, she and her husband, and we couldn't find a car. Well, we couldn't remember where we parked it. And wading around in all that water. And it was pouring. But that's one of those things.
Mm-hmm. Well, did they encourage you to work overtime, or did they want
it was because it had to be done. Mm-hmm. It wasn't that anything they just wanted. It had to be done. If the job had to be done, it had to be done. And if they'd ask you if you would work, and sometimes, you know, you couldn't. So I would work, and it would be only 2 hours. The men could work more, but the women could only work 2 hours over. And I think 1967, we was working 10 hours a day. And but that wasn't bad. You were there, and 2 more hours, it didn't mean nothing. Your tools were out, and you just kept right working 2 hours.
What about during the war? Did you work many Saturdays and Sundays?
No, never a Sunday. And Saturday is what was necessary, but I would never work a Sunday. But I didn't mind working over.
Was it ever disruptive to your family at home?
No. No, everything worked out real good.
Did you have friends that you made during the war at work?
Mm-hmm. Yes, I made friends. And a lot of friends. And, well, I have a lady right now that was my friend. She worked, she only worked 10 years. She had emphysema. And she was, they laid her off because of her health. And, well, she's still living now, but very poor health. But we always kept in touch. And I still go, when I went to Long Beach, I go spend a day or two with her.
Did you do things then during the war outside of the plant with people that you knew from Douglas?
No, because my daughter was young, and I needed to be home with her. And my husband did shift work when he was still alive, so that I just had to go home and be home. Go in my 8 hours and go home and start in.
What kinds of social things did you do during the war?
Well, nothing, really. Because I had 8 or 10 hours at Douglas, I had a house and a yard and a husband and a daughter, and I had my hands full. And because I tried to keep it up right, not neglect anything. And as I said, I'm a perfectionist anyway. So I just felt it was my duty to just work. I think that was enough. Besides what else I had to do.
Did your husband help at all around the house while you were working?
No, he might help with the cooking a little bit, but he didn't think a man should do any housework, so he didn't. And I didn't mind. He wouldn't have done it to suit me anyway. Nobody could.
Mm-hmm. What about help from your daughter?
Well, I guess I spoiled her, but as I say, I'm hard to please. And I just go ahead and do it. And if she did, of course, she was always taught to take care of her things and put it, keep a place. I always had a place for everything. And I thought if you keep it in that place, you'd always know where it was. And she would ask me lots of times, where is this and that? And I said, well, if you put it back, that's where it is. I'm a firm believer in that.
Was it difficult to keep up with everything?
No, it wasn't, huh? Well, at the time, I felt maybe I had problems, but I didn't have, I didn't play cards, I didn't dance, I didn't do anything but eat, sleep, go to work, housework and whatever. But that was a job. And those 21 years, I really never had any, well, you have a little illness, you know, those months or anything. But the illnesses I had was before that. But I felt like, you know, I'm funny. I never felt like I could stay home. I had a job to do and I should go and do it. And I don't know what happened. I had something wrong with my back. And anyway, I wanted to go to work, and I was going, but I had so much pain, I couldn't get out of bed, and I had to stay home. Otherwise, I felt a lot of people think that we'll stop running if you're not there. It wasn't that way at all. I felt I had a job to do, and getting paid for it.